one of the things that I have people ask me about, why do these trucks get side by side on you and you can't get around them? What happened to me a week or two ago, I was coming home from Green Bay, Wisconsin, sat behind these guys for 15 miles side by side. I knew what was going on, but I still wasn't any happier about it.
Life behind the wheel of a big rig, the romance of the road, the long hours in search of a good payday, working in an 18-wheel office. Welcome to Random Acts of Knowledge, presented by Heartland Community College. I'm your host, Steve Fast. Today we've got the 1044 on the secrets and myths of truck driving and what it takes to operate an 18-wheeler. Let's put the hammer down and introduce our trucking expert.
I'm Dave Keim, and I'm an instructor of the CDL program here at Heartland Community College. And what we do is we take folks and train them how to drive a commercial big rig 30 days, and it's possibly one of the very few things you can take a 30-day course in and come straight out to a $50,000 a year job.
So obviously you probably haven't been teaching your entire career. You probably spent a lot of time behind the wheel as well.
Well, you know, I did in my misspent youth. I went to college and majored in radio broadcasting back when that was something you could major in, Columbia in Chicago, and came out of there and went, my dad owned a truck. So I wasn't going to make a lot of money as a DJ, so I started driving a truck and kind of got trapped in it. And I stayed there for about 20 years. I had a really decent job where I was home every night, Teamsters Union, made good money. I did that for about 20 years. And then I got a itch for aviation. So I bought an airplane while I was still driving the truck, learned how to fly, and ended up spending the next 20, 25 years in the aviation industry, which I still keep my hand in today. I'm an announcer at air shows across the United States and Canada and El Salvador, all over the place. But I decided I could retire about 8 years ago, or 9 years ago, I guess it was. And after about 2 months, it said, you know, I can't really afford this. I need a part-time job. And this job came open, and I had the qualifications for it. So I started doing it, and I'm going to be starting my 9th year here in December.
So are there any commonalities between driving a truck and flying a plane?
A lot more than you might think. One of the things I stress to students is situational awareness, which you, of course, stress in aviation as well as a truck. Be aware of what's going on around you at all times. Keep you out of trouble.
I'm sure that there are a lot of things that people that haven't been behind the wheel of a commercial vehicle have no idea when they see the other commercial vehicles on the road with what they're doing that might make it tougher for drivers. When you did for 20 years drive a truck, what kind of things did you haul?
Well, I hauled a little bit of everything. A lot of those years were with a flatbed. Georgia Pacific Corporation had a distribution center here in Normal, and I worked for them for 17 years, delivering plywood, lumber, building materials. That was the good home every night Teamster job that I actually walked away from to go flying. So that was, in my career, I've done the box trailers. And actually, when I had an office at the airport here for several years, they actually hauled jet fuel themselves into the FBO, fixed base operator out here. And when their guy was off, I would haul jet fuel for them every now and then just to keep my hand in, so to speak. So I've done a little bit of everything with the truck.
Well, you talk about hauling jet fuel. Do you need to have any kind of special qualification or license to drive something that's flammable or a different sort of load than
yeah,
regular
you need,
ones?
Your driver's license needs to have a tank certification, and you need a HAZMAT, hazardous material certification. So yeah, those are two things you have to haul any hazardous material.
Well, talking a little bit about the program here at Heartland, what does a driver need to know? What are the basics that they need to know in order to get a Class A license?
Well, as I understand it, the criteria is pretty easy. You have to be 18 years old and have a driver's license.
But you have to pass the test.
Well, yeah. Then you come to us, and we spend 40 hours in the classroom and studying for the test, the State of Illinois written tests, which there are three. It's a general knowledge, a combination vehicle, and air brakes. Air brake seems to be the Achilles heel of everyone that has a problem with it. But we study for that, and once you pass those three tests, then we move to the truck, and it's all hands-on from that moment on.
Are air brakes the toughest part of training for most of the people in the program? What requires the most practice?
Air brakes in the written test. Now, we're just talking the written test, not mm-hmm. driving. The written test is, especially with people who have no mechanical background, you know, we'll get a farm guy who's been around mechanical stuff all his life, has no problem with it. We get folks out of the big city, which we do have a lot of folks from Chicago in the program. And they're lucky if they know how to put an automatic transmission in drive, let alone know anything mechanical. So they have problems with it. So we work on that a lot to make sure that they understand what they need to understand to pass the test.
What requires the most training behind the wheel? Is backing up an issue?
Yes. you nailed it. Backing up is an issue. The state qualifications nowadays, you have to be able to back a truck 100 feet straight back without getting out of line. And you have to be able to do an offset, which is basically that line you were in, you need to offset the width of your truck into another situation. Basically, go back over to the next, picture a warehouse. If one door, you need to back up to the other door, the one next to you. And then, here's the one that everybody loves, a parallel park. You have to parallel park a semi in a space 15 feet longer than the truck itself. And you cannot touch a line on either end or the back side, which they consider a concrete wall, or you fail the test. That's the bugaboo for most people there. And then once we're working on that, the other thing I would say would be shifting gears in the 10-speed transmission. Because trucks, unlike cars, do not have synchronized transmissions. So you have to learn how to double clutch, which is an old lost skill. People with old English sports cars from the early 50s would know how to do that, called crash boxes, because there are no synchronizers in the transmission. And they shift entirely different. Even folks that have standard transmissions have problems learning how to shift these.
That raises a question. You know, over the years, cars have really changed a lot in the technology. Almost everybody has an automatic transmission passenger car now. It's kind of uncommon to get a manual transmission. But a lot of other stuff, too. GPS, backup cameras, sensors. Is this entering into the kind of experience that we're seeing with trucks nowadays?
Yeah, it's coming around. More and more trucking companies are going to automatic transmissions. They were very problematic in the beginning because of the weights involved, but they figured that out finally. Technology's caught up with the idea. And automatic transmissions are becoming quite popular. A lot of the trucks have nowadays lane sensors, like you'll find on some of the more expensive cars, that will warn you when you go out of your lane. A lot of them even have the radar-activated speed sensors. Someone cuts you off, it'll apply the brakes. It'll actually even stop the truck. Now, we don't have any of those in our truck. And we teach everyone the old-fashioned way. And actually, in the state of Illinois, if you learn in an automatic truck, your license is so annotated and you cannot drive anything but an automatic. So that's one of the reasons we stick with the 10-speed, so that anyone who graduates from our course can drive anything that's out there.
So you're talking about backing up earlier, and I know a lot of people that can't parallel park a passenger vehicle. What sort of tips do you give your students on how to back up, how to get a handle on that, how to get themselves in that headspace of knowing where that trailer is going?
Well, there are all kinds of things that we use to try to give them that visual picture. Your mirrors are very important in the truck. You live and die by those big mirrors you see on the semis. That's what gets you everywhere backing. And we have our little, I wouldn't call them tricks, we have our little techniques. We teach people how to do this. And quite frankly, I don't recall all the times I've driven. In my truck driving experience, I had like 1.5 million miles in a truck. I don't recall ever having to parallel park one. And one of our other instructors, Roger, has probably more miles than that. Used to be a West to East Coast driver. He's never parallel parked a truck. So the state of Illinois, in their wisdom, about 1.5 years ago, decided we needed to do this, except no one knows why.
What are some of the other things that you teach your students? I always wonder, is there something about the intangibles of that job that you have to pass along?
We try. One of the things we stress that, you know, these jobs, like I said, basically you can walk into a $50,000 a year job. Yes, those jobs are out there, and yes, almost any one of our graduates can get one of those jobs. However, those jobs are basically over the road. You may be away from your family for 2 weeks at a time. You may have to take your weekend break in Timbuktu, away from home and family, especially in the beginning until you get the seniority and the experience in it. And, you know, there's some hardships. You're out there on the road driving every day, sometimes 10 or 11 hours a day for 7 days straight. But the payoffs on the back end are great. Once you get a year's experience, you can translate that into one of the jobs most people want locally because they want that 1 year experience. Or some people fall in love with the road and they stay out there forever. But yeah, we try to stress to people that this isn't like, you know, you're not going to just all of a sudden have this $50,000 a year job, be home every night and weekends off, because it's not going to be that way.
You mentioned situational awareness. And that's probably maybe one of the more frustrating things if you're driving a big truck, is you kind of can't control what's around you. So those of us that aren't behind the wheel of a big rig, what do you want us to know
That.
What are the things that we're doing to annoy you?
There's a lot of things we want you to know. Number one on my list is turn signals. Please use turn signals and use them before you turn. One of the biggest annoyances is you'll notice this going home tonight after I tell you this. People get into a turn lane and then they turn their turn signal on. It's too late. I know what you're going to do. I want the turn signal on to warn me you're going into that turn lane, and then we can talk about it. But, you know, once you're in the turn lane, okay, you're just telling me you weren't paying any attention. That's one of the things. And people also, they tend to do this more, I think, around the school truck that says student driver on it, is they try to get in front of us. We had a guy this morning over near ISU try, the student that was driving had his signal on, going into a left turn lane. All of a sudden, this car jumped out behind him and wanted to zoom around him in oncoming traffic into the left turn lane. It's like, nope. So then he hit his brakes and pulled around beside us. And guess what he was doing? Texting. He was paying no attention. So that's another thing. And from our vantage point in that truck, we can see right inside a car. And you see more people texting than you would ever imagine.
From your vantage point, you can pretty much see right down there and trying to do their nails or
putting on makeup or
yeah, or read a book or you know, fix their cup of coffee, whatever they might want to do.
And you'd be surprised at the things you see. I've seen people reading a newspaper going down the road. It's incredible.
One thing I saw somebody doing once, this is years ago, I saw somebody playing a trumpet while they were driving.
Okay. I've not seen it, but I don't doubt you.
Let's talk a little bit about what the average job is like. You mentioned it's one of the few jobs where you can go through this entire course and maybe be making $50,000 a year. You touched on it a bit earlier, but what's the average work week like for somebody that's driving a truck? Is it 7 days? Is it 5 days? Is it intermittent?
There's a variety. I mean, it's really tough to pinpoint one. Some of our guys, in fact, we were just talking this morning about a recent student who has got a job with a local guide in Hayworth that has a couple of semis. He's hauling grain for him right now. And he's hauling fertilizer. He's home every night. He's making decent money. He's probably making $40,000 a year instead of $50,000. But the trade-off is he's home every night. You know, he's working, he said, max 10 hours a day, 5 days a week. Then if you go over the road, some days you're going to be driving 11 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then they have what's called a 34-hour turnaround. That's your weekend. Get 34 hours shut down and off you go again. So, you know, there are just so many, anywhere in between. We've had a lot of students go to local soft drink and beer distributors. Those are good jobs because you're driving a semi, except that's a lot of work because you have to load the quickie marts and things with the beer and the soda, and they pay well. You're home every night. You know, anywhere in between there, you can just pick it. There's a myriad of options.
So how many miles, if somebody does have one of those overnight jobs, how many miles could they potentially cover just in one day? You're starting out the same place they end up?
650, 700 miles potentially.
Wow, in one day?
Yeah, yeah. Some of these people are getting 3,500 miles a week. And a lot of these companies pay by miles.
Okay, I want to do a little myth busting here.
Okay.
There are some things that I've heard people say or wonder about truck drivers and driving big rigs, 18-wheelers. And so you can tell me if it's just totally false, not your experience, you ever heard of it, or if it's common or uncommon anymore.
Okay.
So one of the things is, in 2018, do drivers still use CB radios?
Yes, they do. We don't have one in our truck because it would be too much of a distraction. I haven't been on one for 30 years probably, but yeah, the trucks still have them. And basically, I'll tell you when I miss them, it's not in the truck, it's when I'm driving my car, traveling somewhere, and traffic stops. What's going on up there? You know, so that's what truckers use them for mostly nowadays, instead of the old days, like the Smokey and the Bandit things, history. But yeah, they do still use CB radios.
All right, here's another one. Are the engines of some trucks programmed so drivers can't speed?
Oh yes, almost all of them nowadays. Our truck is specifically governed at 70 miles an hour. You can go no faster, downhill, uphill, that's it. And a lot of the freight companies, I know a local freight company, a very large one north of town here, that the trucks are governed at 65. Some of the companies out there govern at 62, 63. If you're a real bad driver, you get in trouble, they'll take you down to 60. And that's one of the things that I have people ask me about. When do these trucks get side by side on you and you can't get around them? Well, it happened to me a week or two ago. I was coming home from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Sat behind these guys for 15 miles side by side. I knew what was going on, but I still wasn't any happier about it because the one guy was going up a hill and he had more weight than the other, and all of a sudden they're side by side and they're governed. They can't go any faster, and neither one of them wants to let off the gas to let the cars through and So that's what causes that. It's not truckers being bad guys. It's truckers trying to do their job.
That was going to be my next question. Why do some trucks drive side by side in both lanes for 15 miles? And I think you just answered it there.
Yeah, that's exactly why.
Well, we touched on this a little bit earlier. Do you need special certifications or special licenses to haul certain things? We talked about flammable materials. Do you see those wide load trucks mm-hmm. sometimes? What are the types of things people need a special qualification to drive?
The wide load things, a lot of those things are just experience. A lot of the stuff, like I was talking, jet fuel and things too, a lot of these people want at least 3 years experience before they let you do that, because obviously it is hazardous. And the last time I was involved with jet fuel, actually it was about a year ago, somebody called up and said, hey, could you do this one load for us? And I did. But everything has changed so dramatically from when I used to do it because of TSA. They now look at that 7,000-gallon load of jet fuel as a weapon. And you have to go on a specific route, and you're advised not to do this, not to do that, don't let cars do this to you. I mean, it's become way more sophisticated than it used to be. So that's one thing. Again, the wide loads, things like that, are more just experience. The really only special qualifications you need, the add-ons to the standard CDL, Class A CDL license, is double and triple trailers and tankers and hazmat. Those are the add-ons. And actually, there's really no criteria for any of those except the written test and the time and knowledge to do it.
What about livestock? Is that just an experience thing too?
Yeah, that's a whole other world. I grew up on a farm, so I'm kind of familiar with that too. The thing about livestock, well, there's two categories there. It's still in the test. It's not so much anymore. Livestock and swinging meat. Because it used to be with some slaughterhouses, like in Colorado, would ship whole carcasses to the East Coast, hanging in a refrigerated trailer. So obviously your center of gravity's high, and it moves. So when you're going around corners, there's a great potential to flip the thing over. And livestock that are still living are the same way, because they can move around in there. So people try to cram them as tight as they can get them. Looks inhumane, but it keeps them alive until they get there.
Here's some more that we're curious about. You can comment on this during your career, during what your students might bring to the table. I don't know. But do most truckers like country music?
I don't know. Maybe, probably. I don't. I'm a rock and roll guy, but I would say probably yes.
So when you were driving, it wasn't like a prerequisite for you to listen to Merle Haggard. You could have some Led Zeppelin going in
the
car.
It would be a prerequisite to listen to Led Zeppelin for me.
See, I always wondered about that, you know, because there's so much of the truck driving lore in country music. But when I'm in the car, especially when I'm going to do a long drive, I want to listen to something that's keep me awake, get me going, like Led Zeppelin or... Something like that.
Me too.
And here's the number one question that everybody wanted me to ask you today. Do truckers commonly have uses for Gatorade bottles other than drinking Gatorade?
I know where you're going with this. And I believe the road crews call them golden bombs. Yes. The long haul guys that don't want to stop their trucks have been known to use the Gatorade bottles for bodily functions so they don't have to stop to accomplish that.
Now, is there any kind of etiquette on how to dispose of those?
Well, I would think so, but apparently a lot of them just get tossed out the window.
So if you ever just wonder who threw that full bottle of Gatorade out in the side of the road when you're driving by, it's not Gatorade anymore.
I wouldn't try to recover it.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about the program.
Thanks, Steve.
Dave Keim is a truck driving instructor at Heartland Community College. To learn more about truck driver training, go to heartland.edu and click on Train for a New Career. This has been Random Acts of Knowledge. Please check out our other episodes on Audioboom, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you find your good listening. Thanks for joining us.